Welcome to Giant Cocktails Happy Hour, a podcast where two amateur mixologists introduce homemade cocktails and discuss what makes each one a giant hit. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another thirst-quenching episode of Giant Cocktails Happy Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Master Mixer Henry, shaking up classics with a twist and always sticking to the recipe for success. And joining me, as always, is the man, the myth, the legend, Ben, Emperor of Elixirs, Henry, draped today in a robe woven from the finest cocktail garnish threads, lemon twist fringes and all, wielding a shaker that's rumored to have mixed the very first martini. Together, we're here to stir your evening, shake your spirits, and pour out fun and laughter one cocktail at a time. So grab your favorite glass and let's dive into the world of mixology magic. How you doing, Emperor of Elixirs?
Well, first of all, let's get one thing straight. I stir my martinis. I would never shake a martini. ChatGPT, that is absolutely just inflammatory. You're going to be hearing from my lawyers.
They didn't say you did that. You were wielding the shaker that made the first martini.
Oh, I have the shaker that shook the first martini.
Yes.
The first shaken martini, the first James Bond martini was made in that shaker.
Exactly.
And I have it.
You have it.
Because like I bought it on eBay or something.
Yeah.
That's fine. Or I got it at a garage sale. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is my new robe.
Yes, a new robe. Yes. Made entirely of the finest cocktail garnish threads, including the lemon twist fringes.
Yeah, you know what? And this feels very, I like this one because it feels very like celebrity, like movie star kind of thing. Like I wore this on the red carpet with nothing else, Matthew.
Of course you did.
Nothing else. Like, you know, if you look at the right angle or whatever, you might be able to see the parts of my body that need to be blurred out on podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
Or wait.
It all needs to be blurred out.
Yeah, you know, it all needs to be blurred out on the podcast, folks. Oh yeah, I usually talk about my week. Well, Matthew, we're back to square one. Like, cause like I told my one story last week. I told my one story, and I will tell you this, folks. Last week was an editing nightmare.
Mm.
It was an editing nightmare. I had to pull out a lot of good stuff. There was interesting things that I had to pull out. I pulled out Matthew's best jokes, as I always do, because you guys can't think he's funnier than me. At least not with his best stuff. So I do that. I did that normally, but even then, it was an editing mess. And I did hate past Ben. I hated this Ben, the Ben that I am right now. I mean, that's the funny thing about editing Ben. You guys feel his efforts, but you never hear from him because he can't talk. Oh, wait, you know what? He can talk if he wanted to. If he wasn't so lazy, he could just get up from his editing desk and come into his closet and record. Nah, he would never do that. He's too lazy. Yeah, I'm talking to you, future Ben. You're too lazy. And I know you're nodding your head saying true.
Yes. He half thought about getting into the closet right now.
He did. He was like, nah, it's too much work. Anyway, that was my week, Matthew. How was your week?
You know, it was great. My son came home from college today, so he drove up here. But there it wasn't all smooth sailing.
Oh no.
And he goes to school in Southern California, and he was making really good time, and he gets up to Rohnert Park, which is actually not too far, about 15 minutes from where I live, and his tire blew out.
Shout out to the Rohnert Park listeners.
Yeah, whoop.
We don't blame you for the blown out tire. Not your fault. Not your fault.
No. It could have been. It could have been your fault, but probably not.
If you're throwing out nails on the highway, stop doing that. That's mean.
So he calls me up and asked if I could call him a tow truck. And I was like, well, you're only 15 minutes away from me. I'll just drive over there and we'll change the tire. And so we did. I realized as I'm driving over there that I had never shown the boy how to change a tire, which I think I missed that in the dad manual. So I showed him on the side of the freeway how to change a tire. And I must say, we did it very quickly. We were in and out in about 15 minutes, and all was right. I do have a question for you, Ben.
Okay, yeah.
Have you ever had to change a tire on the side of a freeway?
No. And if my tire, I've never had a flat tire while I'm driving, knock on wood. I do know how to change a tire, but I would never do such a thing. I would call a person for that.
You're too good for it, huh?
You know, I am definitely, I'm what? These delicate hands, Matthew, they're almost too good for making craft cocktails. Why would I risk them with lug bolts and jackadoodles and what is the thing that loosens the nut loosener? Why would I harm myself, risk myself from this pretty face and these pretty fingers with all of that work? I would just call a man or a woman and they would come in their truck. And, you know, I have a whole service for this, Matthew. No, I have not. No, I have
okay.
Never.
All right. You know, but first of all, your hands aren't that good looking. Okay. I mean,
no, they're really not. They're not. I've got
I mean, it's like pigs on a blanket, man. That's
yeah. Well, and I got this one finger that's totally bent out. Like, you know, in fact, I look like a guy who changes tires.
Second of all, the time that we saved, just like I was back in my apartment within an hour of his call. And I would have, we would have been sitting out there for like 2 or 3 hours on the freeway if I hadn't just gone and changed the tire. So
that is true. That is true.
I feel like it was worth the while. You highbrow guy, you.
I feel like maybe there might be a little bit of judgment when us hoity-toity people call upon, you know, the service providers to come, you know, deliver service to.
They're talking about you. Roadside service guys, like, totally, definitely.
Yeah, they're definitely talking about us. Yeah.
All right.
That's okay. I just go home and swim in my money, and that's it makes me feel better. None of that is true, folks. I would be terrified to change a tire on the side of the highway, first of all. That would scare the crap out of me. But if I could, I would definitely change my own tire. I'm not that. You know what, though? If you are that person, God bless you. Thank you for listening to the show. You don't have to change your own tires if you don't want to.
No, you don't. In fact, there's a whole industry for doing that. So, you know.
That's right. And support those people. Support the services. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
No, Matthew, I'm going to support the American economy. I'm never changing my own tire again.
All right. Well, now that we got you all riled up.
Yeah.
You know what time it is.
Is it that time?
It is that time for
Tip of the day!
Tip of the day, Ben.
Tip of the day.
And this is one of those, it's not so much a tip, it's more of an observation. But really, you know, when you're making your own cocktails, there's a lot of experimentation that goes on because, you know, you come up with a concept and you've got to test those concepts. And so I was thinking about that this week as I was making the cocktails that I might be introducing to the show in the near future. And I was thinking the best part of creating your own cocktails may just be all the mistakes that you make that you get to drink on your way to that perfect one. You drink one and you're like, okay, that's good. But I wonder what it would taste like with this other liqueur. And then you make another one with the other liqueur and you're like, oh, that's so good. But you've had a good cocktail and a better cocktail. And I feel like if you needed an excuse to make your own cocktails, there you go. Because you get to drink the mistakes along with the good ones. And even the mistakes oftentimes are really good. So, you know, there's only one way to find out, you know, which liqueur would go best in that cocktail, Ben.
That's right.
And I had a thought this week. What if we put all the boozes into one drink?
You just put all the boozes into one cocktail?
Yeah. And because then that would be fun to try, right? I mean, that would just be like, let's see what that tastes like.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to find out, Matthew, because that's actually my cocktail. And you know what? Somebody beat us to it.
Oh, okay.
I do have a response to this. So first of all, Matthew, like, I want to call you the Bob Ross of cocktail making.
Oh, yes.
You know, because happy accidents.
No mistakes, just happy accidents. That's right.
That's right. Happy accidents. That's what, there's no mistakes. There's just happy accidents. And I also want to remind everybody that, you know, penicillin was an accident. Right. And this is just as important as penicillin, right? You never know when you're going to create the.
I thought you meant the drink. The penicillin.
No, I meant the actual drug. The actual antibiotic was a happy accident. But I don't know. Maybe that story is apocryphal. You know, maybe we should get.
We don't know.
Maybe we should get Scott to fact check that one, too.
Poor Scott. Getting the homework done.
Yeah. Thanks for doing that work for us, buddy. Thanks for doing all that hard work.
Yeah. For those of you who didn't follow Scott in our Twitter exchange, Scott did actually fact check ChatGPT and the proofing of gunpowder and all that. And that turns out that was apocryphal, that did not actually happen. And so thank you to Scott for, you know, bashing on ChatGPT.
Agreed. So anyway, yes, I agree with this observation wholeheartedly. Like, you know, when you make a mistake, drink it, because you might end up liking it and you might have discovered something new and interesting. But Matthew, you asked me what would happen. What if we put all of the boozes into one drink?
Yes, I did ask.
So that's what we're going to do. We're talking about my cocktail now.
All right.
So good tip. I liked it a lot, even though it wasn't really a tip. I guess it was a tip.
Yeah, experiment. Have fun. Yeah, be happy experiment. That you're having to experiment. That's
yeah, and when you, that's right. And when you make mistakes, yeah, it's just an experiment. Okay, so my cocktail today, folks. I am drinking the Long Island Iced Tea because this is still my month of sweetness, my month of positivity, and I chose the Long Island Iced Tea because my memory told me that this was a drink that you drink when you are newly turning 21, and it's a drink that you drink when you don't like the taste of alcohol. So I thought it must be a very sweet cocktail. That was just kind of my assumption. And I have to say, the first thing that I will say about this cocktail is it's not overly sweet. This is not an overly sweet cocktail. And as you know, like for the past couple of weeks, Matthew, that has been one of my primary complaints. Right? Is that they're just, they're too sweet. Even though I did like the Golden Cadillac, I still categorized it as a dessert cocktail. So you must think, Matthew, therefore, that the Long Island Iced Tea, since it's not overly sweet, I must really like it.
That's what I was leading to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I am going to tell you all what I thought about it. But first, we're going to talk about the recipe. And that might take the rest of the show. Because it's a doozy. All right. So how do you make the world famous classic frat person drink, the Long Island Iced Tea? Well, you take, in my case, 3/4 ounce of vodka, 3/4 ounce of white rum, 3/4 ounce of gin, 3/4 ounce of Blanco tequila, 3/4 ounce of Cointreau, 3/4 ounce of simple syrup, 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, and a splash of Coca-Cola. To make it, you combine the vodka, the rum, the gin, the tequila, the Cointreau, the simple syrup, and the lemon juice in a mixing glass without ice, and you stir gently to combine. Then you pour that into a highball glass that is filled with ice, and you top that with Coca-Cola. And then you garnish it with an Oreo because you are a total child. This is a child's drink. Now, I'm going to, Matthew, like, I don't mean the 8 to 12-year-old range. I mean the 18 to 21-year-old range. Those kinds of children. Right? Like barely adults, but still childish in many ways, which is why we let them vote, but we don't let them drink. This is a child's drink. But I will say this before I get into what it tastes like. When I made this, I did try to kick it up a notch because I think you all may have noticed I actually mixed this in a mixing glass. At a bar, they would never. They would never. Okay? I didn't just use vodka. I used Venus vodka from the distillery in Santa Cruz. I used Plantation 3 Stars white rum. I used Tanqueray 10 gin. I used Espolòn Blanco tequila. And then I did use Cointreau. The simple syrup was homemade. The lemon juice was freshly squeezed. And the Coca-Cola, Matthew, even though there was just a splash of it, was imported from Mexico, made with sugarcane in a glass bottle Coca-Cola. Because if you're going to make this cocktail, you might as well make it right. And I made it right. I will also note, and this is in the spirit of the cocktail, you stir to combine the ingredients without ice. There is no dilution of this cocktail. We do not dilute it. We pour it over ice, and there may be by dilution while you drink it, but you do not dilute the cocktail with ice while you're mixing it. You do want to stir them a little bit, though, because you do have lemon juice and you do have simple syrup, which are two ingredients that we typically like to shake. But because we don't want the dilution, we just stir them. That's important. If you make it any other way, it's not a real Long Island iced tea. I'm not saying that's not good, and I'm not saying that you can't do that. I'm just saying it's not a Long Island iced tea. Okay, so that's all about making it. How does it taste? I mean...
His facial expression, folks, is one of contemplation. Like,
it's not the worst thing ever. You know, it what it tastes like to me is it does taste like an iced tea, but it tastes like an iced tea that came out of a can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's overly lemony. It's got this weird flavor profile going on where you know that, like, oh, they added a bunch of weird flavors to this to try to make it taste good. But it's certainly not black tea, you know. It's something else. That's what it tastes like. So I wouldn't call that good. But I also wouldn't call it, like, undrinkable. But also, I will note, and this is one of the hallmarks of this particular cocktail, man, it is not a boozy drink. It is full of booze. But it is not a boozy drink. And there's just something about the combination of all of these spirits. And I think what it is that they all kind of plug different holes. You know, Matthew, it's like when you take a bunch of crayons and you color on top of each other, you just get black.
Yes.
you know, or like in the color spectrum, white is just all of the colors like combined together. Like that's what's happening here. Like they're all canceling each other out. So they just become this kind of mellow, you know, combination of flavors. And the lemon juice becomes kind of comes to the forefront. And it kind of tastes a little bit lemony. You don't taste the Coca-Cola at all, by the way, and it's really not adding much in the way of sugar. But anyway, so, I mean, I don't know what there is to say about this cocktail, Matthew, other than it is a curiosity. Yeah. Because I think you're taking all of these wonderful spirits and you're kind of mashing them all together where they just kind of cancel each other out. On the other hand, it's very drinkable. But like, if you were to make this at home, it's a pain to make. It's a pain to make. It's a pain to like measure out all of these eight different ingredients. It just doesn't feel worth it. It doesn't feel worth it. So I'm not saying you shouldn't be ordering these for your friends when they turn 21. But I am saying, like, when you go home and make something for yourself, subtract some of these guys and see what happens. You know, like, maybe that would be good.
Maybe. I must beg to differ on that. You kind of called out the 18 to 21 year old, but I want to harken back to the summer of 93. I had just graduated from college.
Oh wow. Way back.
I was a camp counselor in upstate New York for that summer at a very bougie overnight camp where like the girls were on one side of the lake, boys on the other. So then one night a week, the counselors got to leave the camp, and we went and partied at one of two dive bars in the little village down the street. And 22-year-old Matthew, all I knew is that I wanted alcohol.
Nice.
And I didn't really know what to order, and so I ended up ordering Long Island iced teas. And I want to say that the goal was inebriation, right? Not like let's just enjoy this. But there are almost...
That's not healthy.
No, totally not healthy. But 22-year-old Matthew made some choices that probably, you know, we could debate later. But there are almost 5 ounces of booze in this drink. Okay, so to say that this isn't a boozy cocktail, there's a lot of booze in this cocktail compared to the normal 2 to 3 ounces maybe that you might do in a normal cocktail. This has almost 5 ounces of booze.
Excuse me, I didn't mean it wasn't boozy in terms of like ABV and alcohol content.
Okay. Okay.
What I meant was it doesn't taste boozy.
Got it. Yes. Well, which is perfect when you don't want to actually taste any booze.
Right. Which is like, but also like, it's everything that's right with this cocktail, but it's also everything that's wrong with this cocktail. You know, I mean, look, it's perfectly good for that. If you want to have a good time and if you want to, you know what? I'm not going to judge you. You want to get a little bit, you want to quiet down the voices in your head for a good 30 minutes. So you need 2 or 3 Long Island iced teas to do that. You know, actually, I'm going to call that out. That's not healthy. Don't do that. That's not healthy. Like, maybe have one of these to just see what they're like. And then, like, maybe once in a blue moon is like a weird little treat. But, like, don't drink 3 of these.
Nobody's drinking 3 of these, Ben.
In your lifetime, maybe.
Exactly.
In your lifetime, maybe. You know, but, like... Yeah, so you know what now, Matthew, though, is I'm gonna slam the rest of this and we're gonna see what happens.
Okay, you slam the rest of it. I think I'm gonna talk about my cocktail.
So, all right, let's go. Thanks.
So
goodness.
I'm trying to counteract your muddling mess here, or muddled mess, I don't know, with a sophisticated cocktail that I'm calling the Gin Blossom. What is in a gin blossom? It has, of course, gin, 1.5 ounces of gin. And I would say if you've got the floral stuff, use it. London Dry would be okay. But I think this cocktail really calls for those floral notes of the kind of those hip distilleries are putting out today, like Venus and Santa Cruz. I'm using Hobbs from Young and Yonder, which is 100 proof gin, which I love. But then you also, so 1.5 ounces of gin. 1/2 ounce of Dom Benedictine, 3/4 ounces of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of lemon simple syrup. And if you don't have lemon simple syrup, which is very easy to make, and I'll tell you how to do that in a second, you could just substitute regular simple syrup. That would be fine. And 2 dashes of Peychaud's bitters. And you're going to put all those ingredients into a cocktail shaker with ice, and you're going to shake for a good 15 seconds because you do want maximum dilution in this drink. Especially if you're using the lemon simple syrup. And then you're going to double strain that into a chilled coupe glass, and you're going to garnish with a lemon twist. And what you get is a balance of floral and herbal notes, you know, from the gin and the Benedictine. And then you get the citrus kick from the lemon juice, especially when you're using that lemon syrup. It comes through. And then there's that hint of spice of the Peychauds at the end. They all blend together really nicely. And I think that, you know, this it comes across kind of maybe as a traditional sour, but then there's so much going on in the background that it takes it beyond that into this very botanical type of cocktail, particularly because the Benedictine has so much going on in itself, right? There's all these herbs and spices with the Benedictine that add this depth and warmth that can complement the gin, I think. And then the sweetness comes through with the syrup. And then the Peychaud's with its anise notes, and it's, you know, also has some light floral notes in it. I think altogether it comes together. It's a beautiful cocktail. It's this kind of light pink because of the Peychaud's. And so that's what I'm drinking. If you want to do the lemon syrup, it's really easy to make. Equal parts lemon juice and sugar. And then with the lemons that you squeeze, you're going to peel those first with as little pith as possible. And you're going to put the sugar and the lemon juice in a saucepan and heat it up. And as it all dissolves, you're going to add the lemon peels in. And then you're going to take it off the heat and just let it steep until it cools. And then you can remove the lemon peels and you have this wonderful lemon syrup. And that's what I'm using today for this cocktail. So that's what I'm drinking today, the Gin Blossom.
Oh, I like it. I like it. This is, Matthew, what I call a fortified sour. It is a sour with a extra liqueur thrown in, although your extra liqueur in this case is Dom Benedictine, which is I mean, I don't know. What do you call these? Like Galliano, which I featured last week, was 85 proof. Dom is 80 proof, right? Your standard spirit, like a tequila or a gin or whatever, it's 80 proof usually. So these are liqueurs that are carrying as much alcohol as your standard spirit. And so they're like, I don't know, they're like overpowered liqueurs. I don't know what you would call them, but Dom falls into that category. What I like about it is that it has that extra ABV, and so it can give you the same sort of alcohol volume, but it also brings a lot of flavor and a little bit of sweetness. It's not as sweet as Galliano, but it has a little bit of sweetness, but really just brings in a lot of those herbal flavors. And that is what I would call a fortified sour, along with the margarita is a fortified sour.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you hear these referred to as daisies.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would call it. I love the idea of using, oh yeah, but then you kick it up a notch. You kick it up a notch with the bitters.
Yes. I'm really a fan of using bitters to kind of add something to it. You know, it's just, it's amazing because I tasted this without the bitters first and it was fine. And then I was like, you know what would go good here is I bet some spice from Peychaud's would go good here. And it did something that made me really excited. Like I just thought it was really nice. So yeah, and bitters is a great way of you know, fancying it up.
That was our tip of the week, I think, from last week. And we talked about how I have a cocktail that I love called the Fitzgerald, where I add bitters. I actually cut out a portion where you had said the same thing ahead of me, but I wasn't listening to you. And then it sounded weird when we were both in the show, so I had to cut one of them out. So naturally I cut yours out. Just like I cut out all of your best jokes. You know, I wanted to sound like the smart guy. And I wanted you to sound like the lesser smart guy. But anyway, so we talked about how the gin sour is a different cocktail and the gin sour, by the way, would just be gin plus simple syrup plus lemon. Gin with that same cocktail with lime has a name. That's called a gimlet. But they are two different cocktails, right? The gin sour and the gimlet, they taste differently just because you changed the lime from the lemon. Then you add bitters to both of those cocktails. They become two different cocktails in and of themselves. So now if you have a gimlet with bitters, it becomes the Bennett. And if you add bitters to the gin sour, it becomes the Fitzgerald. And those are all different cocktails, all with making like minor different changes. And they're all different. I mean, we just talked about what, six cocktails.
Right. Yeah.
And they're all essentially the same thing. But, you know, and that's effectively what you've done here. But now you're layering in the Dom, which changes things significantly, but keeps the ABV at the same level. And I would also go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to, on that note with the Benedictine, a couple iterations of this involved elderflower liqueur and ginger liqueur. And so this was going back to our tip, right? I was kind of happily making mistakes, and they weren't bad cocktails, but I was looking for something that, you know, maybe was a little different. And I thought, well, I wonder what Benedictine would go in here. And when I hit with the Benedictine, I, out of the three, that was the one that got me the most excited. So that was just that's what you do when you're making up cocktails, is trying to figure out which, you know, I knew I wanted to use this template and I wanted to have a liqueur that was going to add sweetness and some spice and or floral notes, and just, you know, went through my bar and trying to figure out which ones would go best.
Well, and I think you using Peychaud's is very different than, say, if you had used something like Angostura.
Yeah.
Because those are two different flavors as well. And I think that, I mean, that's what makes this hobby so much fun, is just because it is so easy to make changes that have significant impacts on the flavor of the cocktail. But at the same time, they're all interesting, right? It's like you said at the beginning of the show with your tip slash observation, which is like your mistakes could become something that you enjoy and you make time and time again later on because you're experimenting with them. No, I like this one a lot. I will say, though, it is interesting how you're talking about how you were working with the elderflower liqueur. I love elderflower liqueur. I really do. But I find that it's like it often, it's so easy to overwhelm that flavor with other things that it just, it's hard to find things that it plays well with and still stands up on its own. And so oftentimes I will do the same thing. Like I'll go to elderflower liqueur and then I'll add something else. And I'll find that just totally blows away the elderflower liqueur to the point where I just pull it out because it's not adding anything. And I'll stick with that other thing. But who knows? But at the same time, right, then you're like, well, maybe that's a good thing, right? Because that's like the elderflower liqueur is kind of like the you know, it's like the masking tape when you're painting, right? It's like it's the thing that you tear away and remove, and it helps reveal something else that's more interesting and fun. Wow, did we just add another tip to the show?
Maybe. I like that, you know, elderflower is known as the bartender's ketchup, but now it's going to be known as the bartender's masking tape.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Use it while you're experimenting. Let it help you reach out and experiment and be brave. And then you'll find, well, you just pull it out. Just pull it away. And then now you've created something new and fantastic. And you have to give Ben full credit.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, Matthew. So I really enjoy this one. This is... What did you call it again? The stupid heads.
The gin blossom.
Buttheads blossom.
That's right. The butthead blossom.
You know what, Matthew? I'm just realizing my Long Island. My Long Island teeth is kicking in.
What Long Island teeth is? There's not a lot of booze in it.
I didn't say that. I said it doesn't taste boozy. And that's its whole point. Crap. Now I gotta do this while I'm drunk. Hey, you know what? I wrote this down somewhere.
You did. It's on our show notes.
Well, there you have it, folks. Well, there you have it, folks. The Long Island iced tea and the gin blossom. If you liked either of these cocktails enough to try them yourselves, or maybe you made something better. An Andrew of it. Or maybe just paint a word picture.
Wait, Andrew of it?
Stuff's happened over on Mastodon, Scott.
Andrew over on Mastodon took a picture of his drinks. So, Scott, you got some competition.
Easy come, easy go, buddy. Easy come, easy go. And send it to us on Instagram, the Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, Threads, or Mastodon. We love to interact with you all, and it really helps the show. You know what else helps the show, Matthew?
Leaving us a positive rating on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast listener you listen to, and telling a friend or basically anybody that you know about our podcast, or sharing what we post on your social media platform of choice. That's how you could help the show.
Yeah, like really. Really, like the posts when Matthew puts them out. I feel bad for him when I'm the first one to like it.
Well, on Instagram, it's like three guys. There's like three people. It's weird. Like,
Yeah. That's true. Hey, Matthew, I want to ask you, do you like your own posts? Is Giant Cocktails Podcast liking its own posts?
No, because I'm old school social media guy, man. Like I've been doing this since, you know, before Facebook came out, and you don't like your own posts, man. I just don't do that.
Well, that's one less like we have.
I like it from my other accounts.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not liking it from the Giant
17 other accounts.
Yeah, my two other accounts. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Well, on that note. Man, I'm so sorry, future Ben.
We'll see you next Monday when we'll be drinking these very same cocktails.
Well, Matthew and I talk about, wow, the quickly winding down spring training. I mean, we're getting close, folks. We're getting close.
Opening day is near.
It's right around the corner, and we're going to be talking about it. And until then, Matthew, cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Ben. Bye, everybody.
Hey. Hey, you. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
You know what time it is?
No, it is not that time.
It's not?
No, it's not that time.
I thought it was that time.
No, you missed a step. But I do have a question for you.
Oh, okay. But I do have a question for you.
Okay, here's my question, Matthew. Are you drunk? I mean, dude, I was fine. And then I said, I'm going to slam this.
You were. And all of a sudden, bam.
And then we got like halfway through your cocktail. And I just do not remember anything since then. This cocktail is so stupid. It does the trick. It does the job. I'm suddenly feeling it. I'm like, hey, this is the best cocktail ever.